Hello, everyone. Welcome to Supernatural Junkies. I'm Super Alex.
I'm Dr. Kevin, and I am natural today.
I guess that means that I will be the junkie.
He is definitely got a lot of junk.
Wait a minute. I think there might be somebody else here.
Yeah, don't leave me off.
Who's that?
Who is that?
This is Dr. Dosha, and I'm lifting it up spiritually.
That's right.
He's pumping you up spiritually.
Yeah, bump you up.
We are here.
And he we here. Are...
With Supernatural
Junkies.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Supernatural Junkies. This is Super Alex. And once again, we have Dr. Kevin. Say hello.
Dr. Kevin is in the house.
Dr. Dennis O'Hara. Say hello.
Hello.
And we also have, last but not least, Dr. Dozier.
Hello. Hello.
And a very special guest today. We have Dr. James Thorpe, who is a maternal fetal specialist. He is with us today to talk about some issues going on with everyone. All the mommies. So he's also going to be at our conference.
Yes, the Save Our Children conference. And Dr. Thorpe has practiced for over 42 years as an OBGYN. He works with some of the high risk stuff. And so he gets to see things that other people haven't seen. He's been on the Epic Times in an article. He's been, I think, on the Laura Ingraham show. He's been interviewed all over the place regarding some of the things that have really transpired since 2020. So welcome to the show, Doc.
Well, it's such an honor and a privilege to be with you, and God bless you all. And we're going to have a fun time here, I know.
That's right. We were just admiring your lovely office, and we're like, this is quite the backdrop you've got here. So I was going to say, you know, we always like to go back and ask people how they even got started here. So what was it that kind of drew you into the medical profession?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think it started in my backyard in Ypsilanti, Michigan, when I was 3 years old. And my mother that gave me my spiritual heritage, for the first time, at least to my recollection, taught me about Jesus Christ. And, you know, I just felt a calling. My mother was a labor and delivery nurse, and I really got into understanding her passion. She delivered me herself at home, and you know, I got into all of her medical books and learned about one of my great heroes, who was Dr. Ignaz Philip Semmelweis, whom I'm sure you've never heard of, but my mother taught me a lot about him, and just went on from there. Yeah.
Wow. So that was also then how you ended up choosing to be an OBGYN.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Your mom was your inspiration there.
My mother was, and you know, the whole concept of, you know, God creating life and bringing us life and the beauty and treasure of life. But then this character, Ignaz Philip Semmelweis, that I learned about, you know, as I grew up, I read about some of her books, and then I read his book. And I know you don't know anything of Ignaz Philip Semmelweis, but he was my hero. And, you know, Dr. Semmelweis was a Jew. He was an Hungarian Jew in the mid-19th century, in the 1850s. You know, 50% of mothers died in Vienna lying in hospital in the mid-1800s, and they died. It wasn't the babies dying. It was the mothers dying after birth. And this was really only 170 years ago or so. We've come a long way, but back then, the exact same thing happened to my profession, Kevin, that's happening now. And little did I know that the disasters, and they were dying by what physicians were doing. They were dying because the physicians were going from the vivisection room, the autopsy room, up to deliver babies. And of course, it was the hospitals in Vienna that were, you know, the serve the poor, you know, the poor, you know, the minorities, they've always been, you know, not treated well at all throughout history, and many times in medicine abused. And so it was back then, but literally some months, 50% of beautiful, healthy young women that went into Vienna Lying-in Hospital in the 1840s, 1850s died because physicians were inadvertently killing them. And Dr. Ignaz Philipp Semmelweis figured out what was going on. You know, they didn't know about bacteria back then. They didn't know. They had all these goofy theories, kind of reminding me of these people now that, you know, that are seeing death and destruction and having all these goofy theories other than what the obvious thing was. Well, it wasn't obvious back then, but because he challenged the system, because he taught me to think independently, he taught me to always do clinical research, not funded by other people, but by the Holy Spirit, by putting into me, you know, what questions can I research that will really make a difference in my patients? And that's really what I've done my career. I've modeled my career and my ethos after Ignaz Philipp Semmelweis. He was tortured. He was end up thrown in an insane asylum because he knew the truth, and the powers that be could not accept the truth, they were so fixed on their power structure. Kind of like, you know, Jesus talking to the Pharisees of his time and telling them that, you know, everything they're doing was wrong, that they were abomination, that, you know, their Savior was standing in front of them, but they were blinded to it. And they were more interested in the power that they had and continuing that power. Same thing, same struggle we're seeing in Jesus's time, same struggle we're seeing in Dr. Semmelweis's time, same struggle we're seeing here. There's so many similarities, and that's part of what my book is going to be about.
Yeah, well, you can see, you know, unfortunately, it's obvious at this point. We just went through what we went through since 2020, and we're still in it, really. But the issue is that we have some people that did not follow any of the plans, and they clearly did better. So, you know, that's what you're saying, that here you are, you got all these, got this whole machine started here. It's really a propaganda machine, and everybody's kind of following it, including the doctors. And what was it that happened for you that helped to start break away from some of that with 2020?
Well, it really started before 2020, because remember, I was a dyed-in-the-wool academician. You know, I've actually, you said 42 years, but I'm going on 45 years, and I'm an old fart. You know, I've been 45 years of clinical practice now since medical school. And you know, I believed everything I was taught in medical school, which was a mistake, but I believed everything that the government had taught me, which was a mistake. I believed everything that the medical journals, I thought they were honest. I published extensively throughout my career. I've been honored by all my professional organizations throughout my career. But, you know, long about, you know, the turn of the century, the editor of the New England Journal of Medicine really opened up my eyes. Her name was Dr. Marcia Angel. This is 25 years ago. And, you know, she stated that, you know, I revered, you know, probably sinfully, I revered these medical journals. I was also a reviewer for many prominent medical journals, including the New England Journal of Medicine. And I put them up on a pedestal, which absolutely is wrong to do. But, you know, she said that they were terminally corrupt 25 years ago, and corporately entangled with pharmaceutical companies. And they weren't looking out for they were publishing false information. And that rocked my boat. And then, you know, the Tamiflu came around. I started making, you know, billions of dollars off Tamiflu when it was really a lie. And I did see that playing about this whole concept that they've used on us. The pharmaceutical playbook, oh my gosh, they have such a long list of lies, but the whole concept of relative risk versus absolute risk. And I can talk about that in simple terms, but then come 2020. Okay. listen, I did my homework. You know, I knew what was going on there. I've used hydroxychloroquine my whole life. For 40 years, I've used it in pregnant women, as have other doctors, because pregnant women are women of reproductive age are at much greater risk for autoimmune disease, you know, anywhere from 3 to 10-fold times that of their age-related men, male, a different topic of why that is. But so hydroxychloroquine was a mainstay of therapy in pregnant and women who weren't pregnant. Then they'd get pregnant. Safe drug, also called Plaquenil, we'd leave it on them. So it's all of a sudden. And then I was aware of the SARS-CoV-1 data. I did my homework. I was ready to go because I knew a lot of therapies that worked. And the mainstay of therapy that worked was hydroxychloroquine because it worked in SARS-CoV-1 at the turn of the century, right? So when I started using that and being yelled at and screamed at and mocked and derided, and then the pharmacist illegally not prescribing it for me, and then being threatened because I'm using it, I knew something was up. I knew something really sinister was up.
Wow. So that's a big one. Go ahead, Nib.
So when you were talking about how you drew inspiration and became a doctor, you were mentioning, for people that don't, we know, but that there are women today that are also dying. Can you enlighten us a little bit about that? Because you're talking about mothers.
Oh, yeah.
And mothers passing away.
You know, there's women dying left and right. And I mean, you know, it's horrible. You know, we've had an unprecedented die-off. Alex, you know, Dr. Hoyer of the NIH last year presented data from your government talking about nearly a 30% rise in maternal mortality. 30% rise. This is not Jim Thorpe or Peter McCullough, you know, scratching our heads and thinking, no, this is your federal government admitting that there's been a break in the over 2-decade decrease in maternal mortality. And in 2022, it goes up 38%. They presented the data. Not once did they mention the cause. But yes, maternal mortality is skyrocketing. You know, and Alex, I want to make it really clear. This massive kill-off in this pandemic, and let's put it in perspective, I can prove this, I'm not throwing numbers off the top of my head. This vaccine, not COVID, the vaccine has killed and injured 585 million global citizens. And there are suggestions that women were more affected than men. I can talk about that a little bit. That's a little bit looser data. But, you know, this was brought in, Alex, by women were purposefully targeted. And this was the evil. This is hard for me to say. I'm a disabled veteran. Okay. This killing fields was brought in by our government. Our government, not Putin, not, you know, the nitwit in North Korea or Iran or any Putin. No. Our government launched this bioweapon on the entire world. But our government targeted women. They did their science all right, but they didn't do the science of medical science. They did the science of marketing. So they knew that women were all the decision. It's not men. It's not us knuckleheads. You know, Kevin doesn't make the decisions. I can, odds would tell me that none of the gentlemen in front of me make any healthcare decisions in family, including myself. Okay. I've never, because God made man different than women. Women tend to do that. That's a woman's, you know, men, we're too busy doing other, you know, stuff that's obviously less important, but it's the woman that calls all the shots. And we've known that for years because, you know, for years, decades, the hospitals have come to me as an OBGYN doc and say, hey, we need to help you. We need your help with marketing strategy. Why me? I just do an OBGYN. Because if you can market and make your women have a happy experience, every other service line in the hospital benefits because it's the women that make the decision, not just for their husbands, but for their children. and for their extended family. That's number one. That's why they targeted women. There's a second reason why they targeted women. They targeted women because, I know this may come to a shock to you guys, spoiler alert, but men can't have babies. Only women can have babies. Okay.
And not what the government says lately.
So it's not children that are the most vulnerable population. That's another, you know, and I hate to break bubbles, but, you know, children are not the most vulnerable population. The most vulnerable population in all of medicine in the world are my patients. Pregnant women, preborns, and newborns are far more vulnerable. So Mark Weber, Deputy Secretary of HHS, back in early 2021, developed some very, very, very concerning marketed strategies with Harvard and many other universities. You know, as they said, let's grab the low-hanging fruit. Well, if we can spend, and by the way, it's been $5 trillion now. If we can market to women and we can push it as being safe, effective, and necessary in pregnant women, the most vulnerable population, we've won the game. Every other human being on the earth needs to be populated, needs to be vaccinated if we can show that. So they targeted women for marketing purpose, number one, and number two, targeted pregnant women so that if they can show that the convinced with their $5 trillion now, $5 trillion, that pregnant women, it's the vaccine is safe, necessary, and effective and necessary in pregnant women. Every human being on earth needs a vaccine. That was her marketing strategy. And I can prove that. My wife is a JD, an attorney. She's also completed a divinity degree as well. And we published extensively on the America Out Loud platform, probably 16 or so, really very heavily cited, not deep in the weeds with minutia or with medical trivia that is easy to understand, but they're medical legal briefs. And all 16 of these are focused on how every aspect of how the government targeted, fraudulently bribed every thread of the tapestry of our society.
Wow.
Those are great points, Dr. Thorpe. I was going to ask you just that, because you being OBGYN, you had to question, well, why are they going after this population? We've never recommended a vaccine to pregnant women. We don't even want them to smoke or drink, let alone put an unknown substance into their body. What type of side effects have you seen in your practice?
Yeah, the side effects are devastating. First of all, I mean, great question. And so, you know, I want to go back and say that in 2020, I didn't see any problems in my pregnant women. You know, of course, everybody was made to fear. But when you look at the data, pregnant women fared better than non-pregnant women. And I can prove that. I can prove that. But as soon as the vaccine rolled out, it was horrible. I saw death and destruction. I mean, let's just start out with, you know, one of the first things I noticed was a massive assault on for whatever, after the vaccine was rolled out a couple of months, women trying to get pregnant or couples were coming to me with massive menstrual abnormalities. And I mean massive. And then I saw just an onslaught of really substantial increase in miscarriages, and not just early miscarriages. Miscarriages are defined as a pregnancy loss before 20 weeks. And the vast majority of miscarriages, which is a relatively common event compared to after 20 weeks that we call stillbirth. So miscarriage, but we're saying severe bleeding with the miscarriages. I mean, just really severe bleeding. And then miscarriages, not typical, the late miscarriages after 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 weeks that are really rare, you know, and then I would see an increased risk of malformations was substantial. I mean, it was horrible increase in malformation in the first and second And of course, the third trimester, because those start in the first trimester of every organ system you could imagine. Fetal deaths, blood clot, severe autoimmune disease, cardiac arrest in the womb, severe inflammatory disease of the placenta, very abnormal looking placentas, very abnormal fetal testing and surveillance, severe early onset preeclampsia, preterm premature rupture membranes, preterm labor, severe growth restriction, the babies weren't growing, unexplained deaths in of the fetuses, and otherwise the pregnancies, it did look like they were going, you get a dead baby. It was awful. And, you know, as an empath, which is not necessarily a good thing for a physician, you know, you look at the left hand here as being a sociopath, you know, zero empathy. And you look at a physician, you know, person, any individual that has the highest scale of empathy, you know, a 10. And then everybody in between there, you know, we all have a unique calling. And I'll tell you, you know, it's not necessary. It's not a blessing to be, have an empath on the scale of 10 for a physician. What I saw, I couldn't sleep. I grieved. I cried. I was, my soul and spirit were just devastated. And I knew what was going on, but nobody would listen. Everybody was bought off. And, you know, then when patients did go to deliver, you know, we would see these catastrophic bleeds at the time that we couldn't stop. Many women losing their uteruses. And then we'd deliver a baby that did survive. And then that baby would go to the intensive care nursery and have all kinds of problems. And then moms would be calling me up, you know, Dr. Thorpe, you know, my pediatrician tells me that my baby, there's something wrong. My baby doesn't have any antibodies. My baby's always sick. My baby can't, you know, mount an immune response. Oh, my pediatrician now wants to give adult doses of the vaccines to my child, my baby, because the pediatric doses aren't causing the antibodies to form. And it's like, what? What kind of incentive? This is what I saw. This was my life. And this was during a period of time when I was working for a Catholic hospital, one of the largest in the country, Sisters of St. Mary's Health, SSM Health, almost a $10 billion Catholic hospital system. Well, this is what I saw. And then I developed, you know, I started speaking, you know, very early on platforms all over the world. I've testified all over the world. You know, I've given governmental Senate testimonies in Brazil twice, in the United States, you know, multiple times in various states, and in the U.S. Senate, over in Europe and South America, South Africa. And, you know, so I've established a lot of contacts, and where I have like Trojan horses literally all over the world who would trust me and be OBGYNs or infertilities and we would connect. Same thing going on in their countries that were highly vaccinated. So I knew, and that was devastating to see. And then I did a deep dive into all the governmental data. I've published extensively on it, the government's own data. And let's be clear, the safety signals were horribly breached.
So I have a question. When did you personally start to notice and connect all these things? Because you talking right now, like a lot of these things I have never even heard of. So two questions. When did you first start to connect it to the vaccine? And secondly, how has this been able to just, we've not heard of it. Like it's swept under the rug. This should be a huge issue, especially if you're saying it's affecting 38%. That's 38% rise. That's incredible.
Well, now say, where'd you get the 38% again?
Oh, I thought you were saying that there's been a rise in fetal deaths.
Right. Almost 30% okay. Rise in maternal mortality.
Maternal
mortality. You know, that's much more severe.
Yes.
That a maternal mortality, Alex, is defined as a death of a pregnant woman or a woman that delivered her baby In other words, 42 days, 6 weeks after her birth. So if a pregnant woman or a pregnant woman within 6 weeks, 42 days after her birth dies, that's a maternal mortality. Now, those are very rare. Those were counted in the, literally, we would count those with a denominator of 100,000. But if you go Google it right now, Google H-O-Y-E-R-T, you'll see a 30% rise. Yeah. And that's devastating. And by the way, for the last 20 years, consecutively, it's dropped, right? So, and the government said nothing. Listen, I'm making some pretty harsh statements here, but they're true, unfortunately, and I can prove them. This government is corrupt. This government is off the rails. You know, let me give you an example of why I say that. In 1976, I was a medical student with my older brother at Wayne State University School of Medicine, who at the time I thought one of the best medical schools in the country, very, very clinically strong. The swine flu vaccine came out, 100 million plus were maybe not 120 million, but millions and millions were vaccinated. There were only 26 deaths. The vaccine was immediately removed from the market, right? At the turn of the century, Alex, young children were given the rotavirus vaccine and none of them died. Not a one of them died, but there were dozens of cases of a minor bowel complication, which I won't go into, called intussusception. Minor, easy, fixable, right? Even without surgery, it's fixable. Perfect prognosis, right? If it's diagnosis. And I'm thinking, wow, praise the Lord. Look at my government is really doing a good job. The FDA and the CDC, you know, 26 deaths, they immediately, no causation, just association. You know, several dozen cases of minor bowel complications in young children immediately ripped off the market. Yeah, they're looking out for the American people. Now, just fast forward to 2021. Let's be clear. I know this data like I know the back of my hand. The first 10 weeks of the rollout of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine was the most unprecedented, deadly, injurious shot or medicine, whatever you want to call it, procedure, ever rolled out in the history of humanity, in the history of medicine. Let me tell you how bad it was. In just 10 weeks, from December 14th, 2020, to February 28th, 2021, there were 42,086 casualties, including 1,223 dead. And what happened to the government? The government tried to hide that for 75 years. 75 years they tried to hide that from the world. And not even more egregiously, not only did they try to hide it for 75 years, they did the opposite. They rolled out what we now know to be, according to the Washington Post and the New York Times, $5 trillion has been pushed into this COVID fraud, and they can't account to where the money was. Well, Maggie and I know where the money went. They bribed they rolled out immediately after that, instead of acknowledging to the American people that this drug should be immediately removed from the market, they launched a massive, unprecedented disinformation PSYOPs campaign through hundreds of different programs. One that Maggie and I published on was a COVID-19 community core, where they essentially bribed every sector of our society with founding members, including faith leaders, which I have more to say about that, including all the medical journals, all the athletes, all the professional organizations. And who was a founding member? The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, controlling 60,000 OBGYN doctors. So just let that sit in, because that is fact. And there's nothing more important that I could say than that, because nobody can dispute it. And by the way, everybody in the world had that It's called the Pfizer 5.3.6 post-market data. It's legally mandated for every medicine or medical device that is rolled out. They must give 90-day analysis to the American people and to the federal government of the adverse events. And they did that. Pfizer did that. And it was available. They tried to hide it for 75 years, and it was available in early spring of 2021 by a whistleblower. Thank God to the whistleblower. And then attorney Aaron Siri with ICANN, which is the Informed Consent Action Network, put in a Freedom of Information Act request. And wouldn't you know it, 2 years ago yesterday, federal judge made them release it. April Fool's Day, April 1st, 2022, it was released. And that document, which I knew and everybody else in the world had access to, you did, to do their due diligence like every physician does. I had it. And we knew it was we knew that was a Pfizer document. It had Pfizer fingerprints all over it. It had their legal bait stamps all over it. We knew it was accurate, but they tried to hide it. So it's difficult for me to tell you that your government doesn't care about you. Your government is trying to kill you. They've captured all the hospitals. They've captured nearly all the worship centers, nearly all of them. And I can prove that too. And they've captured all of the hospitals and all the organizations. So this was literally, you know, the emperor's closed system, the emperor's closed syndrome. He who pays the piper calls the tune. We're in a fascist totalitarian government right now, and we're heading faster than a speeding bullet to complete, total communism, fascism, just as bad as North Korea or Putin. But it's got a better face on it.
There is a war for our children. The Truth, Faith, and Action Alliance is calling you to take action and join us Saturday, April 13th at the Save Our Children Conference at Shiloh Baptist Church in Plant City. Don't miss out on the opportunity to hear from leading speakers such as Jonathan Kahn, Rob McCoy, Kevin and Sam Sorbo, Lucas Miles, and many more. Register now at saveourchildren.ticketleap.com. That's saveourchildren.ticketleap.com. We can win this war for our children by working together.
Well, I'd like to ask you a question. Okay, in order to have a vaccine, as they would call it, you need to have something that you're using the vaccine for. Okay, we go to COVID, the so-called COVID pandemic. And it appears by many that this was a man-made type biochemical weapon. You just call it like that. And then you get this so-called vaccine. And then you see something like you've never seen before. You get the president of the United States getting on camera and saying, I'm running out of patients. And so now we see frustration because there are a number of people who won't take it. Even in the state of Florida, they were administering it in one community. I believe it was in Manatee County. And there was an outcry from, and I want to give it to who it was from, an outcry from the Democrats. And what they were saying is they're giving it to a middle class or upper middle class community instead of taking it to the poor communities. And that was a head scratcher. I'm like, if somebody needs something life saving, then really what difference does it make as far as who gets it first? So now you go further and you get people like yourself who get censored, what have you. Here's my question. Since you were mentioning about mainly women, women were the biggest target were women. They were going after women. My question is, what reason would they have for doing this? Why would they be doing this? I mean, I can see clearly, I believe it was the military that was saying, and I want to throw a number out there, but I want to say, I believe it was, they were saying about 300% of the women in the military were becoming sterile, if I'm not correct. They were sterile. They lost their ability to produce children. So why was the push so much at women? Was there a agenda to try and reduce world population, or was this just some mad, diabolical, scientific experiment that they were running on the world. I know money was being made. The oligarchs were behind it and all. No money was being made. But was there something deeper?
Well, I think, you know, Dr. Dozier, clearly, I think you know the answer to that. I know you do. I think it's a rhetorical question.
It is.
So you know, and I both know that, you know, for 50 years, the evil satanic forces, by the way, they own the world. God gave it to them. They're running the world, you know. 40 days of fasting when our Lord and Savior Jesus came off his fast and went up to the mountain, top of the mountain with Satan. Satan told Jesus, the creator of the world, God, our creator God, that he owned the world. Jesus didn't argue with him. Jesus gave us our free will and gave Satan the control of the world, right? And so it ultimately, this is a satanic agenda. This is the globalist. This is Satan himself working through the globalist. This has been going on for millennia. You know, this has started way back with Nimrod. It's, you know, this is the plight of humanity. So, you know, the evil forces always go after the most vulnerable, which are preborns and newborns, child sacrifice. Look at what, 80,000 children a year, even now, are being sex trafficked and tortured and involved in these, you know, SRM or SRA, satanic ritual abuses. This is nothing new. This is a god of Moloch. And this is, they present it in different ways. You know, this is 50 years ago. I can get a litany. I could write a book on the quotes of our leaders that have talked about depopulation. And listen, if those of you, this is not conspiracy theory. You know, go look at the Georgia Guidestones. I mean, the Georgia Guidestones were because they were constructed in 1980 in Elbert County, northeast Georgia, on a massive plot of land with a massive granite facades. And by the way, anonymous. And what did they write in the stone? They mimic God. They wrote their Ten Commandments in the stone. Jim Thorpe's not making this up. Go look at it. It's all over the internet. And what happened? What was their first? First of all, I find it really ironic that it's a classic satanic move that, you know, God writes the Ten Commandments in stone. So Satan does the opposite and kind of mimics God in a fraudulent way. He writes their Ten Commandments in the stone in this massive facade, actually much more massive and grandiose than the stones that Moses received, you know, on the top of the mountain from God. Okay, what was their first commandment? What was the first commandment of the globalists that was written on that stone? We will maintain a global population of 500 million. Yeah. What? Do you realize what the massive kill-off is? You write that in stone. You have the audacity to write that in stone with this massive federal edifice and show the world that you're going to kill 94% of the global. You're going to do that and maintain harmony with nature. You can go on and on. But this is fact. This is true. This isn't Jim Thorpe spouting off conspiracy theories. And you know, you see that's not the only one, but hey, look at the Deagle Report. Are you all familiar with the Deagle Report? That's a governmental organization highly funded by the government. This is a legitimate organization that's been around for over a long, long time. The Deagle Report, after the Obama administration, look at it, I think as early as 2014, And their mission, the Deagle Report, was to do strategic population growth in every country in the world. And you can go pull a PDF right now while we're talking and look at it. and this was published. This was published back in 2014. What and they list all whatever, how many countries are there in the world? Almost 300, all 300 countries and their estimated population in 2025. That's next year, folks. Who are the top three countries on that? Do you all know who the top three countries of depopulation was on that?
Britain, the United States. I can't remember the third one.
Ireland. And by the way, it listed, and you know, you're talking about, Dr. Dozier, do you remember Britain's reduction? It's almost, wasn't it? It's 79%
or something. Yeah, like 78, 79%. I think I was with 60-something% or something like
that. Yeah, and then the United States was 70, just below that, and Ireland was just below that. Now, there's a lot of countries that are kind of neutral. They didn't do much. China, their population was only decreased by 1%. But here's my point. What in the world? But where did this come from? This is an elite government organization that's put together all this data. What did they know that we didn't know in 2014? Where did this come from? I mean, this is really, I'm on next with Geert Vandenbosch. Have you heard of him? Okay. You don't, you look at what Geert Vandenbosch has been saying. I mean, and he's a friend. We've been on several platforms. I think we both testified in both the Brazilian Senate. This guy's a brilliant dude. Well, you know, I'll tell you, pull up what he just published this week. It's not reassuring, and I pray to God that he's wrong, but he's saying that, you know, and I believe this, that the 13 billion shots that have been distributed to 5.3 billion human beings on this planet, you know, I've known this for a long time. It didn't cause herd global immunity. It caused herd global disimmunity. It's caused global mass susceptibility to infection, all infection and cancers. How? By crippling the immune system. This is vaccine-induced acquired immune deficiency. This is VAIDS. This is VAIDS syndrome globally. And I can tell you, you know, I've looked at Medicaid data, you know, a lot of it, looking at, like, for example, the infections are skyrocketing even in pregnancy. 80% increases. I was just interviewed on Brandon Howe's show. We talked about this report that came out. Now there's a person in the United States dying of sepsis. And this was peculiar to me that only 30% of our population knew what sepsis was, which tells me I probably talk over people's heads and I don't know it. And I got to do better about that. But sepsis is death, or a severe condition in which an infectious agent goes into the blood and causes multi-organ system failure and is often lethal. An American dying of sepsis every 90 seconds? And this is published on a verifiable report, and you can look it up. You can look it up right now. And not only that, 5,000 children dying a year from sepsis. And, you know, don't look at it while you're eating, because it's got all these pictures of literally three or four dozen people that have, including children who's had their legs chopped off, whose hands are black. I mean, it's devastating. This is the result of the vaccine. Same with the cancer. When you destroy the immune system, your cancers go off the wall.
Dr. Dan, you have a question? I'm going to switch momentarily. I know we're going there, and we agree with everything you just said, because we've done many podcasts on this. In fact, we just did a podcast on the writ of mandamus that was presented in Florida to get rid of these shots out of the state. And we're trying to find, that was submitted at March 3rd, trying to find if it's gained any ground with Governor DeSantis. But this is going to be, it's a little personal, but it's going to apply to the general audience, because last week I became a grandfather. And so when you were mentioning some things about your patients and so forth, my daughter, unfortunately, her and her husband were vaccinated in New York. No effects yet, thank God. And she got pregnant and gave birth to a beautiful baby girl. What are some of the, have you seen cases in your practice or people that you know where this may be the case, but have there been any repercussions or health issues with the child afterwards?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'm horrified to say that, yeah, I have many in my family. You know, I didn't heed my warning, got shots when they're pregnant. And yeah. Now, I'll answer your question because I don't want to take away all your hope, you know, but yeah, devastating complications, even in moms that thought they were doing the right thing by getting the shots in pregnancy. And many seemingly didn't have any complications yet. And we'll talk about that in a study and what that means in a bit. But yeah, their children born look normal, vigorous, but this vades in their babies are devastating. Their babies can't clear infections. Their babies are chronically, you can't get over simple infections. And like I said, I've had many moms come to me with, Dr. Thorpe, what's going on? You know, they respect my knowledge, not just in my specialty, but my knowledge of, you know, many different specialties and what's going on. You know, my pediatrician's telling me there's something wrong with my baby's blood. My baby's blood doesn't have any antibodies in it. My baby's blood's not responding to the vaccines that the baby got. And, you know, so yeah, there's the same issues there. And what's going to happen? I do want to cite a study. Sorry to bore you, but Schmeling and colleagues, this is from Europe. You know, about 70% of the people that got the vaccine had some, you know, minor complications. They definitely knew that they had the vaccine. Now, many of them, they were just like really severe shoulder pain or aches and pains or headache. They knew they got something. Okay. I'm talking about rough percentages. It wasn't quite 60, 70. Another 30% experienced nothing. I mean, zero, nothing. And then, of course, 4 or 5% had devastating complications or dead. So what point am I trying to make? It's this. Many experts interpret that, including Dr. Peter McCullough, who thinks that, you know, there were 30% that might have been placebo or saline injections. Now, there's no proof of that, and that's going to be hard to prove, but I've suspected that from all along. This was one huge guinea pig experience. You know, listen, we know, and this is why my patients of color, you know, don't trust the government has been experimenting on minorities and less fortunate people whose rights are squelched and treated like animal rats in experiments. That's what our government has done, not just now, for a long time. And they've tried to hide it. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all that this was one large experiment, and that's horrifying to say, but I want to give you hope. You know, I have grandkids that are, you know, unfortunately damaged. You know, my wife, Maggie, JD, divinity degree from, she comes from a family of four. There were four daughters. She was the youngest. Oh, beautiful, healthy, young, beautiful, healthy girls. Brilliant. Her three older sisters got the vaccine. Every single one of them were severely damaged. Maggie came about this close to getting the vaccine, and I didn't want to get too pushy with her and just prayed and prayed and prayed. She decided not to. And, you know, her eyes have been open since, and we're really grateful to God she didn't take it. But make no mistake, this is, you know, the more troubling, Maggie and I just did a huge article that went viral again on the America Out Loud platform. You know, the lies that they told, and I'll just summarize it, and we cite it heavily. The vaccine stays in the arm 3 years ago. When I said, and many others said that that's BS, doesn't stay in the line. They were designed to go around. You know, we were mocked. When I brought up the possibility of permanent genetic alteration, I was mocked. I was attacked. In just 3 years, every single narrative has been completely reversed and completely showing the government fraudulently lied. Not only does it not stay in the arm, but, you know, 2 and 3 years later, the vaccine mRNA is excreted intact in the breast milk. And then earlier this year in the main journal, what we call the gray journal, the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology, Lynn and colleagues brag about the fact that, after it was denied 2 years ago by another journal, the vaccine mRNA goes right into the fetal blood. Isn't that a good thing? It sets up shop in the placenta. It sets up shop in the lining of the uterus closest to the pregnancy that we call the decidua. Not only does it set up shop, it becomes bioactive and produces the bioweapon spike protein, AGVI signal. And last but not least, Mikhail Rejek, PhD, founder of Marrow Genomics up in Canada, but preliminary data, it looks like it may be permanently reverse transcribed, that is the mRNA vaccine, into the human genome, the human DNA. God forbid.
So it's funny, Doc, you know, so we have been in this since day one. You know, I was the author, and these are my co-authors actually here of the COVID beast, and we showed how all of this genetic narrative and all six things the Bible said in Revelations 13, verses 16, 17, and 18, including a 666 patent, announced to the world that this is a scenario that really would be something that the beast government would use to get what it ultimately wants, which is mandatory access to your body and the ability to disenfranchise you for your religious beliefs. Now, since then, and that book also details the genetic narratives of the Bible. And really, since 2004, when Francis Fukuyama wrote the book, The World's Most Dangerous Idea, which was a Nobel Peace Prize winning article, it was about changing our genome, which is what you just brought up. Now, we brought up the mark of the beast. And if you look at what the Bible says for mark, it fits that genetic markers meet that qualification, right? And so since then, through the reverse transcriptase, right? And now we know Joseph Latipo talking about how there was DNA contamination to these things. And because, like you said, it doesn't stay in one spot, these lipid nanoparticles have allowed it to penetrate, including your blood-brain barrier. And if you look at that word in your Bible, the word for forehead is not forehead, it's behind your eyes. And as you know, what's behind your eyes isn't just anything. It's the frontal lobe of the brain. Mm. So this vaccine put patented genetic markers in our brains, right? Mm. And so you can start to see where some of this all starts to culminate in a warning to really humanity that Satan's ultimate plan doesn't work if he can't get access to our bodies. And that's where this new technology, it had to be something new. And so this is the million-dollar question, and this also comes from Dr. Jose Bonilla, who wrote the book on mRNA. We discussed everything I just shared with you, but the question is this predilection for these nanoparticles to take it to reproductive tissues. So you're saying, and this is what we've been scared about, do you believe it has the ability to affect? We know it's changed some DNA in some cells of our bodies. Do you believe it could change the human genome?
Yes, undoubtedly, yes. And you know, there's preliminary evidence. Listen, this field, what I just quoted to you is really from a PhD, I think one of the foremost in the world, Michael Rejek, Mikaela, Mikaelrazek, PhD, genetics, founder of Marrow Genomics, has the first preliminary, it's not smoking gun data, that it is maybe permanently reverse transcribed into the human DNA genome. Now, we know that And I'm not saying this isn't proven yet, but listen, every other lie they've told, Maggie and I, just this article on America Out Loud, it went viral. It was just published. We've detailed the lies and all the subsequent publications. You know, you have Alden in 2 years ago now that proved that was reverse transcribed into the human liver cell in Northern Europe. That was in vitro, meaning in the lab. Then you got the two studies by Hanna and colleagues proving on two separate studies in 2022 and 2023, proving that the intact man-made satanic mRNA was encapsulated in a lysosome or exosome and excreted in human breast milk. And now you have the Lynn site study bragging about that it goes. We all knew this, Kevin. We knew this because Schladlich and colleagues from 2010 or 2011 showed that the lipid nanoparticles, listen, the lipid nanoparticles are 1/1,000,000th of an inch. They were designed to break every God-made barrier. They knew it was going not only in the human being, in mom, but it traverses the placenta and transgresses all of those God-made barriers in the fetus. And yes, Schladlich showed in 2010, it concentrates in the ovaries. And, you know, Dr. Byron Bridle's FOIA request from the Japanese Pfizer biodistribution, it concentrates in the ovaries from time zero of injection to 48 hours later. That concentration went up 118-fold, and God forbid, had they not killed those animals and sacrificed them, that slope of that line, it might have been up to 1,000-fold. So yes, it may well be integrating even in a female fetus, preborn, integrated into their ovum. Listen, girls in the womb, females in the womb, they only have a million eggs. Okay. They're not, women are the rate limiting crucial step to human reproduction. Sorry, guys. It's not you. You create hundreds of millions of sperm per hour, but a woman only has 1 million. And by the way, after she's born, those ova planned by God undergo a die-off, a slow die-off called apoptosis. So by the time she starts ovulating at menarche, 12, 13, 14, there's fewer, many fewer than a million. And by the time, you know, she's 30, there's many fewer. And to your point, what have we seen? We've seen premature ovarian failure in 20-year-olds, in 25-year-olds that are in menopause because they have no eggs left. This is exactly what's going on. To your point in the Bible, I know you guys, you know, I've been a student of the Bible my whole life. I've been a student of eschatology my whole life. And it's, you know, other than medicine, I'm OCD on it. And we're living in end times. And I want to say this. You guys know this. If you go to Revelation 18 and you see the whore riding on the beast and you know that the whole world was overcome with, what's the word in the NIV? Sorcery. Where does that word come from?
Amen.
Look it up. It comes from the Greek word pharmakia. Pharmakia is the key base word for pharmaceutical companies, pharmaceutical industry. It's all right in front of us. Now, in terms, you know, I mean, I have some feelings about the mark of the beast. I, you know, absolutely, this is a prescient. This, I think it's a type of the mark of the beast. But again, I this is my own opinions and you guys may differ from me, but this, somebody that's taken this, this is not the mark of the beast, because the mark of the beast clearly entailed a volition knowing that they were going against the God. If Satan released this as a mark of the beast, he broke his contract with God and it will not stand. In Revelation, it says that, you know, the angels will circle the earth. Do not take this or you will be, you will be separated from God forever. So this is not the mark of the beast, but it is technically a strong prophetic type of the mark of the beast.
So we would totally agree with you, Dr. Thorpe. And it's interesting because when you start to see where they're going, because the mark of the beast is like an ownership thing. And so you also have those that are sealed by the Holy Spirit in the same place in their forehead. But go back to what Tal Zaks said when he first came out with this. He talked about that if you took this vaccine, you're no longer a creation of God anymore, and you could be the subject of a patent. Now, what he's referring to is the Myriad case, right? That says, if my patented code appears in your body, right, then they can start to make this argument. Now, we definitely agree. They're starting to make the argument. Maybe this is the start of the argument, but they are trying to make this case that somehow they have rights to you or ownership of you. And of course, in order for that to happen, he had to also be admitting that this would alter your DNA, right? Wow. So that's why I mentioned some of those things. We're in a precursory mode.
Yeah. But Dr. Cruz, what's the name of that book and spell the lead author?
Oh, which one?
Tal Zaks, that one.
Oh, Tal Zaks. He's the chief science officer for Moderna.
Spell his name.
Zaks. And I've got that in my book. That quote is in my book. And I'm going to, by the way, I'll make sure you get a signed copy.
And please tell me the name of your book. And
so it's called The COVID Beast. And we will definitely get you a signed copy by all of the authors, by the way, when you come. But we'll be able to share with you, you know, that side of it. Again, the good news is we're still in a precursory mode here, but you can start to see the changing of the genome has happened. And that means we're back into the days of Noah, right? And so that's the only way to explain that the Nephilim were so different in the Bible. The only way, we don't have to know what happened. We just know that when those children were delivered, they were different in every way, and then therefore they must have had different DNA than the rest of us. And that's, of course, what's happening. That's what transhumanism is. That is the ultimate agenda that you can see, and that's the elimination of the human race.
I'm totally 100% agree. I've been on a Genesis 6 and understanding that for many decades now, you know, understanding that, you know, really the first prophecy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was in Genesis 1, you know, basically where he pronounces after God, you know, after Adam and Eve fell. You
know, Genesis 3:15.
Your seed will come against her seed. Well, it's what? Hello? Mm-hmm. A woman doesn't have seed.
Mm-hmm.
Woman has ova. Only the man has seed. That was the first prophecy of the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Genesis 1.
Yes.
Amen.
With you saying that, Dr. Thorpe, I do want to say this. I think we need to be very careful when we jump. When I say this, we see things happen in the world, and we say, okay. This is what's happened. I remember in 1999 when they thought all the computers were going to break down at the beginning of the 21st century. And you had a number of individuals write books. There was one who wrote a book called, I believe it was the Millennial Meltdown. And you had people buying books. You had people buying computers. And I remember December 31st, 1999, that night. And I can remember the title of the message. It was, "It Won't Happen at Ease." And I don't want to go into the message, but I want to go into the problem. The problem is that people see things happening and they jump to a conclusion. But what happens is you lose the sequence of events that must take place. Things are shaping up, but there are still a number of, and I don't know how we get, well, I guess I do know how we got on the subject, but there are a number of things that must happen before we ever get to that point of, as you would say, the mark of the beast. There's going to be some political upheavals. There's going to be what appears to be some type of assassination and some type of resurrection. There's also going to be a demand to worship an image. And at that point, I believe a lot of people are going to see, it seemed like a bamboozling here. But the taking of the mark of the beast will not be something that people are going to going to do because they're forced to do. People are going to do it because they choose to do it. That is one thing that we have to remember. There are a lot of things that man is doing now because you went to Genesis 6. Yes, God does say that the man's heart has been evil continually. So there are evil imaginations that come in, and all throughout history, there are things that resemble that particular time. But I believe what we need to do, we need to deal with where we are. We need to deal with where we are today and recognize that, as Dr. Cruz mentioned, as it was in the days of Noah, really what, if you look at what Jesus said, people are going about with their everyday lives, and then a lot of people are going to get caught suddenly. So I just wanted to say that, because when we go into those areas, we have to make sure that we stay theologically sound, or we can jump to something. And then when something really does happen, we won't be ready for it. And it can be more devastating for the believer than he could have ever imagined.
Amen. And I'll tell you right now that, you know, for me as a former, you know, disabled military officer and, you know, having, you know, loved my country, and to see it completely destroyed in front of my eyes is one of the most it's, you know, I've given up on politics. I'm voting for King Jesus, and there's King Jesus only, and I can't wait for his return. And, you know, I see everything going on through the Bible. I see the destruction of the Francis Key Bridge, you know, just hours after we stabbed Israel in the back. I know William Koenig, and I've read all of his stuff. I'm sure you have too, on the horrible things that have happened to America when our leaders push Israel into a two-state solution. I texted him that night, and I said, you know, Bill, you need to write another chapter. Well, of course, he sends me stuff. I'm aware of all the prophetic significance of, you know, Psalm 19. You know, I'm aware of the September 23rd, you know, fulfillment. I believe that September 23rd, 2017. I do believe that was an important sign. It's not date setting. I believe that these three eclipses, these not date setting. I don't know what these are, signs, you know, but I see the Francis Scott Key Bridge coming down. I see the flooding. I see the destruction, and I see horrible suffering coming to the United States of America in my human eyes this year. You know, I don't think we're ever going to see an election. This is all extraordinarily upsetting to me. The only peace and joy that I have is looking at Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't sleep the other night, and the Holy Spirit took me to Habakkuk. And, you know, Habakkuk, I would urge all to read it. Habakkuk, you know, talks about the end times, and, you know, Habakkuk talks about, you're not going to believe what I'm going to do. You're going to see some amazing things. So, I don't know what he's talking about the end times. He's not talking about it. It's very clear that the prophet Habakkuk, you know, may well be talking about this time. Maybe he was talking to me about, stop being so upset. You know, stop giving up. There's always hope in God, because God can do all things. Read Habakkuk. Maybe we will repent as a nation. You know, I was horribly upset when I saw, you know, one of my, you know, my friend, not personally, but I love the guy, the California, is he, that spoke in front of the Congress and prayed. Oh my gosh, and how he was derided. You know who I'm talking about?
Jack Hibbs, right?
Jack Hibbs, yeah. And mm-hmm. I love the guy. I think he's a man of God. And look at how he was mocked and scorned and derided. This is not looking pretty. For when the United States of America, look at what they did to Easter, you know, our Resurrection Sunday. Look at what the administration did, turned it into a holiday for horrible, that God of Eschar, who, by the way, was unisex, half of his body was male and the other half was female, and all the sexual perversion and destruction of our family. And now Biden proclaims it. It's not looking pretty for us, ladies and gentlemen.
So, Doc, I do appreciate you, you know, going to that Revelations 23. And we're all in agreement that there is definitely some things that still need to be taking place. And but we can see these birthing pains the Bible talked about. And you mentioned Revelations 18:23. What's very interesting about that verse is it says some things that are very similar to other things. And that is it says that wealthy international merchants, which are wealthy international businessmen, they administer a plan. And this plan is going to shut the light of the lamp out inside of us, this time forever. That's an Old Testament saying, but it never said forever. That was a generation that was basically divorced, right? And then put the light of the lamp out inside of us. Why would wealthy international businessmen want to do that to us? And how do they do it? They do it as pharmakeia. The definition is to administer a drug. And so you just said that, right? All we're saying is that your Bible's giving you lots of pieces and it's been there for 2,000 years and it's always appropriate to talk about it. But at the end of the day, we still have to what? We are dealing with some speculation, right? But Jesus also said that when you see these things happen, we're supposed to stand up. And it really means to unbend, right? And so we thank you for not bending. I can't imagine what it was like to be a medical doctor during these times. And so, you know, along with Peter McCullough, my wife has to ask you a question because we know you guys are close.
It's my question. I saw that mug with Dr. Peter McCullough on there. I just wanted to comment on it. I saw that.
Repeat that question again, Alex.
Oh, no, it wasn't a question. I was just noticing that you had a coffee mug with Dr. Peter McCullough on there. Like, I saw that.
We had a talking point, Anna?
No, you.
He was just saying you have a Peter McCullough mug.
Your coffee?
Oh.
Yeah, I saw that.
I've grown very... Dr. Peter McCullough is, I believe, appointed by God. He started his journey, a close journey with Jesus Christ before the pandemic. And, you know, he may not be quite as far along his path as you are or I am, but I know him like I know my brother. I've broken bread with him many times. I've had intimate prayer with him many times. I know his beautiful wife, Maha, as does Maggie, and I can vouch for the veracity of this man's heart and this man's spirit. I believe that he is the most qualified individual that God put on this earth to lead this world out of this most catastrophic, colossal medical disaster that humanity has ever seen. I do believe that, and that was revealed to me before, you know, 4 years ago, before we ever even became close. So, yeah, I do love Dr. Peter McCullough. Of course, he's being voraciously attacked because that's what we expect, right? As is the wellness company, you know, that we both work for, being voraciously attacked because we stand for freedom. We stand for not only medical freedom, but national freedom, nationalism instead of globalism. So, you know, yeah, we're being voraciously attacked, but that's almost a divine affirmation. But yeah, I Dr. Peter McCullough, you know, I have a tremendous amount of respect for, you know, listen. I mean, God has set him apart. He's the most published cardiologist in his specialty in the world.
Yeah.
Right. He's a brilliant man and he's a God fearing man and he's a Jesus Christ follower. And, you know, that says it all to me. And I can vouch for the veracity of that.
Amen. So, Doc, how can we know you're being attacked and we know all of that. And how can we pray for you as you move forward?
Yeah, please pray for Maggie and I. We're warriors on the front line. We're being voraciously attacked. We're being it's really, really difficult and it's really stressful. We're being attacked by all the medical boards. We're being attacked by the state medical boards with fraudulent claims and lawsuits. And, you know, we know this is all of the enemy, but, you know, when, you know, I've been honored by all these organizations for my entire career, you know, it's very unsettling and it's very disturbing and it causes us a loss of peace and comfort at times. And it's very painful. You know, Maggie and I are in this together and we've been very isolated from a lot of our friends and even our family, you know, for taking this stance. So, but yeah, you could really, really pray for us. We need prayer. You know, I was fired last year for speaking up for the truth. The largest Catholic hospital system in the country, Sisters of St. Mary's Health. And, you know, that was really painful. I really love the people up there. I even love the administration. You know, I was the most extensively published physician in my division. I was the most experienced. And by the way, I was the largest revenue generator for the corporation, that corporation in my entire division. I saw five times more patients than some of my junior maternal fetal medicine colleagues. So, you know, they fired me and that was very painful. And they fired me for no cause because, and, you know, the CEO actually heralded me. Maggie was right here as a model physician, but oh, they're having some financial difficulties. Well, no, they lied. Maggie and I proved they took $307 million and they were bribed like all the other hospitals and they didn't want to fire me, but they got a call from HHS and CDC and said, you know, execute Thorpe or you got to pay that money back. And they made a financial decision. But, you know, stuff like that for somebody that has been in this, it's pretty devastating way. My career's not ended. I'm chief of maternal and prenatal health at the wellness company. I'm very proud of it. But, you know, it's very, very painful for me to be brutally attacked.
Well, we want to thank you because like I said, I can't imagine what you've been through. And I want people to hear this and know that we have our Joshuas and our Davids right now in the medical profession. And we met one today. The great cost and sacrifice that you've given to come here today to tell people the truth, you know, even though they're never going to see it on television. Everything you say will be denied by somebody. And if you Google it, it'll be fact-checked as wrong. And that's what we're up against. And we just want you to know how much we appreciate you to come today. And this is one of the best interviews we've ever had.
Well, that's such an honor and privilege. And I just can't wait to meet you all in person. And I'm going to warn you in advance. I'm a hugger and I'm going to hug all of you really tightly and tell you I love you and thank you for your prayers.
Well, you've got some new friends. Do you ever have any issues? Like I said, you shoot us an email. And of course, Yvette is a good friend of ours. And, but yeah, we would love to help you in any way that we can. So, yeah.
Prayer is the way. And I look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks.
Dr. Dozier, you want to pray us out, brother?
Sure. And I want to say this to Dr. Thorpe. Anytime someone comes across as a spirit-filled theologian, and that's how you come across to me, that's my area, that's my field, and I'll tell people I know no other way. And I heard you say something very similar. And I echo what Dr. Cruz just said. You have friends here. You have friends here. And I believe what you're experiencing, and a lot of us are experiencing, is the same thing that those people whom Peter wrote to, who were under Nero, experiencing some of the same things and their fiery trial. And we're suffering is for Christ and not as evildoers. And we know that Jesus said, the servant is not greater than his master. The world hated me, therefore they hate you. Yes, they loved you before you had to make this great stand. Because when you had to make the stand, they saw what was really in your heart. And that's when the, as you would say, the exposure of who you were really around manifested itself. So I just want to pray for you at this time and season. We really need people like yourself in the medical field who put God's word first. Father, we bless you. We thank you and we honor you. We thank you for our brother, your son, James Thorpe. I thank you, Lord God, for his candidness. I thank you, Lord God, for how you poured into his heart and given him such an understanding of your word and your will. And I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you'll bless both he and his wife, his family, Lord God, and any extension from that, Lord. I pray, Lord, that those who are close to him who may have yielded to this so-called vaccine, I pray, God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would dissolve everything in them that can damage them from this time forth. And I pray, Lord God, that you will be a protection around him even as he goes forth. Give him the boldness and the wisdom that he needs in the face of this perverse generation. And we do thank you, Lord God, and we give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, I receive everything Dr. Dozier says in Jesus' name. And I just ask you, Heavenly Father, God, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, to bless these ladies and gentlemen and Yvette Gaw and our ministry, our meeting coming up here shortly. Lord, just open this up to the world. You use this as a Pentecost-like event where the Holy Spirit just fills us all and speaks the truth to the whole world. Who knows? Maybe this is a Habakkuk moment you're talking about. We don't know times or dates, but we have our eternal hope in you, Messiah King Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, James Thorpe, and thanks for coming.
Thanks, Dr. Kevin. Thank you, Alex. God bless you all.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered how you could get your hands on some awesome Supernatural Junkies gear? Well, the answer to that is it's now available on redbubble.com. We have a shop on there for Supernatural Junkies, and there's t-shirts, leggings, sweatshirts, hoodies, even a shower curtain. So if you've always wanted to have a shower curtain with Dr. Kevin on it, you can just get one with just Dr. Kevin. We have our logo on there on everything. And we also have all of us as singles. You can get magnets, stickers, you name it. It's all available on our Redbubble shop. I will be posting a link to that in our show notes for the last few episodes and from this point forward. If you have any questions about anything you want to contact us, you can do so at supernaturaljunkies@gmail.com. Thanks, guys.